welcome to Prusa Live 45. I am here with Mikola Sousa and the returning Joseph Prusa. It's great to have you guys all here. So let's get the show started. We've got a good one for you. First of all, how was your holiday, guys? Like, we're here on a Thursday, right? We're not here on a Wednesday.
Yes,
yesterday right. was a holiday for you guys. What exactly was it?
I don't know.
Saint Václav. It's a Czech saint that we celebrate.
Okay.
And I was, I'm a little bit under the weather, so I was relaxing at home and doing pretty much nothing.
That works.
All right. Yeah. So let's kick things off with our printables picks of the week. I said it right. Yes. almost said it wrong. Like, it was right on the tip of my tongue there.
Yeah. I can feel it.
What do you have this week, Mickey?
I have the hexagonal paper tower holder by
nice.
Look 3D. It's a bit, you know, kind of difficult thing to show on the stream, but I printed one for the office because I was always annoyed that these are always somewhere and you don't know where. And then I found it pretty convenient, so I printed this one, another one. I think I'm going to put it in the kitchen because you can always use some paper towels.
Yeah, how more paper towels.
How do you refill it?
So there's these pins on the side, and they are squishy a little bit, so this goes out. So then you can put the new roll back in, and then you put the pin.
I think in the office you need to put like a padlock on it, because you lose the towels anyway.
We have David who always buys, like, I think an entire pallet of these, so we have plenty, but they disappear incredibly quickly around here. That's true.
Yeah, this is a problem around my house. Even I'm constantly asking my wife, why do we have a paper towel holder if there's never paper towels in it? And so they just go missing to other locations.
Yeah. Matt, what do you have?
I have, where did I put it? Oh, there we go. So this is one of the entries from one of our recent contests, our tool keychains. So nice little case here, keychain, but it has a really nice, like, hear that click? Yeah, it has a really nice locking mechanism, but it holds 4 screwdriver bits, and you can pop out the screwdriver bits and close it back up and put them in the tip. And there's enough room in there to put a magnet in there too for magnet retention. A nice little driver with 4 bits that can be on your keychain in a slim profile. Yeah, it's neat.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I should, do you have a nice place where you can buy these bits?
Yeah. I mean, depending on quality, you can get, fairly decent quality sets at pretty much any hardware store. These are some cheap bits that I got from a store called Harbor Freight, which I'm sure many of our audience members know for having the cheapest tools around. But yeah, it's pretty easy. Just go to any like real hardware store and get sets of bits. Nice. So, and it uses the standard, you know, 1/4-inch, 6mm bits. So yeah.
Sweet.
You're home, so probably no print from you this week.
I didn't get a chance to print anything, so maybe Mikolas have some spare one.
I have a spare Joe Prusa print wireless stream. They are Pokeball coasters, just something cute for your table that you can put on the desk. And I had them. Oh yeah, they are by Tyco. I think that's a Fingiverse import, but we appreciate those as well.
Yeah. There should be a Pokemon game coming, I think, in a couple of months.
Yes.
The recreation of the new one.
Yeah.
A recreation of the old one.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to finish the last one. So let's see.
I've been having some coaster fun myself, and I'm actually going to show some stuff to our team next week and see if we want to do an article, possibly with our sustainability team, about making coasters.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, we have, I would say, some updates coming from the sustainability, because we, later when it's processed correctly, but we know the how much CO2 is emitted during the making of the Mark IIIs. So it's pretty cool. Eight.
Nice.
All right. Let me mute my phone. There we go. as it's going off. All right. So we do have some news. Speaking of contests, contests are running right now. Mechanical Marvels is still open. A couple weeks left to get your entries in on Mechanical Marvels. You guys have been putting out some pretty great things. I mean, 372 entries already, which is fantastic. But yeah, there's some really cool stuff coming out there. Is that that's not? Oh yeah, okay, that is Mechanical Marvels. Our current flash contest, which is the wedding decorations, is over in 3 days. So get your entries in there, and you know, as always, another flash contest coming on Friday.
Mikolas, nice. What are you going to do with so many Prusa meters?
Yeah. One day I will buy like a piece of the company with them or something like that.
I've got some very interesting suggestions coming in from some of our users that have been really adding them up pretty quick, and I think there's some interesting ideas of some things to do with them besides turn them in for massive amounts of filament.
Okay.
So there's some people out there that would like to see if they can donate that filament off to like charities and things like that. So. Some fun ideas.
Okay, let's think about it on Earth. Anyway, yeah. Who in the chat is coming to Earth? Who I will see in person?
Any Earthers, which sounds like people from Earth, planet Earth.
Yes,
actually Earth.
Right. For all of you that don't know what we're talking about, next week is Earth or the East Coast Rep Rap Fest being held in Bel Air, Maryland. And Joel will be there. Mickey will be there. I'll be there. Shane will be there. A bunch of other Prusa people will be there, and tons of other members of the community. I'm pretty sure Joel will be there. Uncle Jesse's going to be there. So if you don't have plans and you're on the East Coast, Liz is going to be there. Yes, Liz from Maker Deck is going to be there. So if you don't have plans for next week, make sure to come out to Earth if you're on the East Coast. It'll be an absolute blast.
And we have some news fresh from the oven, literally released like 8 minutes ago. There's been two new firmware releases, one for the Mini and one for the Mark III family.
So the Mini, it includes the long-awaited Wi-Fi update. Yes. So
it's a release candidate, so it's way more stable, way more polished, $1 million fixed about the Wi-Fi and the pruselling and everything. So you should definitely give that a try if you were trying the beta. The release candidate will be way better. So that's just out.
And yeah, for all of those of you that have been saying mini Wi-Fi, making the chat just sit and roll at times. Now is your time to try that release candidate and let us know how it is, because now we need your help. So
yes, and we also released new Mark III firmware, which has pretty big new feature that we never talked about. It's just silently been developing it, and now it's ready. It's there, and it's called the thermal anomaly detection, or thermal model in a nutshell. So we have a nice blog article that's coming out of it. So if you go to blog.prusafree.com, you will see it there. But what it does is it basically knows how the everything thermal wise, you know, the nozzle and the heatbed, how it should behave, and it monitors it, and when it starts behaving slightly weirdly, you know, it starts deviating from the model, it detects it, and it can do all sorts of things. You know, we already had all sorts of protection on the Mark III, like the min temp, max temp, the thermal runaway, but those would always just ruin your print, because, you know, if you open window and like really blast of cold air would hit the printer and you triggered min temp, you just had to reset the printer, and the print was unfortunately ruined. But the thermal model, it always pauses the print. It lets you know that something weird happened, and you can inspect the print, see what happens. We have a quick demo of the feature in action. So here is our patient, a weird mark-free in our testing farm that's printing, and then the printer suddenly beeps and it says thermal anomaly, and it just keeps printing. This means that for a short period of time there was something strange about the temperature, something suddenly spiked, but it was only for a brief moment, so the printer is like, I will continue, but this is a little bit weird. And if it happens for a longer period of time, which we will see here, the printer will beep again, it will pause the print, and it will say thermal anomaly error, or thermal error, yeah, like that. And it's really, really hard to see in the video, but when I went through it frame by frame, and even the compression must be completely killing it, but for one brief moment, there's 169 degrees on the thermistor, and then suddenly it goes back to 250. So what we think is wrong with this printer is the cable is like partially broken or something like that. So when the printhead moves to a very specific position, it starts jiggling the cable and it like disconnects and the value jumps to something random, and then it goes back to normal. And the printer detects it, it will pause it, and, you know, depending on what triggered it, you can try to resume it a few times, you know, watch the printer, what's really happening, and if it keeps happening again, maybe it will help you a little bit to see that, you know, there's something weird with the hot end or with the thermistor on the hot end. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting.
But we've taken that even a step further, right? Like, looking at where some of those anomalies can come from.
Yeah, so, you know, for example, one thing that causes the, you know, everything that causes the whole thermal system to behave weirdly will trigger it. So, you know, if there's a blob forming, it will not like completely prevent it from happening in the first place, but once there's like some filament on the nozzle, it will start behaving differently from what is expected. So it will most likely prevent like the big blob of doom that will completely ruin your printhead from happening.
Right.
Instead, it will just make a little blob, and then as it starts behaving differently, it will pause the print and it will tell you, look, the printer thinks there's something strange going on, you should check it, and you will obviously see the blob. So
yeah.
I would say this is the coolest byproduct of any development we've had so far. It was so amazing when I learned that.
Right.
Yeah, we can detect the blobs,
yeah,
this way.
We have some nice graphs here, and for example, we can see the difference between no sock and sock. Specifically, if you look here, you will see that now the pit loop is kind of jagged. It, you know, goes up and down quite a bit, and with the sock, it's a bit smoother. But more importantly, then when you look at a different graph, there is some like really something's very wrong here, because you can see the power is spiking up and down, it's going like full blast on, full blast off, then the reading is going all over the place, it's going to maximum like 100 and to zero. So there's something very, very wrong with this printer.
Yes, so I would say this is the another level of safety on top of what is the industry standard.
Yeah,
right.
And this is a beta release, and it's a bit, you know, it's a bit involved. It's really like, if you want to try and test this out, we would really appreciate it. But right now it's there's full notes on how to do this on GitHub. In a nutshell, you have to connect with Printerface and send some custom G-codes to go through a calibration. So for about 15 minutes, the printer will be heating up and cooling down, and it will be noting, you know, how long this takes. And then it's calibrated, and then, you know, the detection works. And, you know, what about all the modded printers? What if you bought, like, a, you know, custom heater or something stronger or different? It should work with that too, because of course, like, you know, modding is completely, you know, it's freaking open source and RepRap and all that. Like, you know, that's completely expected. But of course, it can happen that your machine, your specific setup will fail in the calibration. And if that happens, our devs would love to hear that. So if you reach out via GitHub, and you know the devs will ask for some stuff, you will help them out. We can, for example, reward you with some Prusa meters on printables, because we will be really grateful if you reach out to us if you fail the calibration, because of course we can't. We tested some you know, right, different setups, but obviously we cannot test everything that, right, that's in the world that's
that,
out there.
That being said, don't go putting crazy mods on your printer intentionally to break your printer just to bug the devs so you get some Prusa meters.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
reasonable situations.
I would say that we are quite efficient in screening.
Yes.
Something.
Yeah.
Not yes. cool is happening around.
Yeah, for sure.
And I can imagine some questions. So this is for the Mark 3S Plus family of printers. On the Mini, it's partially a little bit there, and you know it will also come in more fully featured in the future, and you know for our other printers as well, because we think it's amazing, so it would make a lot of sense to port it to our other printers as well.
I find this feature to be super exciting, and like the potential in some of the things that we talked about, like even in the Excel of things that we can do in the future as we gather more of this data, and things like AI modeling and things become more and more regular, and you know we start looking at this like, you know, like we say, being able to detect the blobs early but what other kind of anomalies might we be able to find from this. And it's just really great to see, you know, kind of an evolution pushing forward in all of this. So super exciting. Way to go, team.
It's very cool. Yeah, David is just, the team lead is just, he's not watching because he's on the way home, because he's been building this till the very last second before the stream, just really trying very hard to get this out before the stream starts.
Good thing we moved it, the stream.
Yeah. That's right.
Give him an extra day.
Yeah, I see some question, not exactly related to this, but as we are also talking about the Wi-Fi firmware for Mini, I see, yes, you need the additional hardware. The SMA connector on the board is for NFC EEPROM, which is on the Mini, but we decided not to implement it, and the connector is just so cheap that it's still there. Yeah. But you can use Ethernet. You don't need to use the Wi-Fi.
Yes, or you just get the ESP 8266 or ESP 01, and that can be your Wi-Fi interface.
Yeah, right.
And that's that's the release candidate version of firmware that we also just released. So you can definitely try that. And
fantastic.
I guess that is it for the news right now.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't sure if we were popping anything else in there, but yeah, fantastic. All right, so let's bring in our guest for this week. So we have Morley Kurt with us. A bunch of you guys have requested to have him on, and a bunch of our team also requested, especially our sustainability team. Morley is a YouTuber who has recently been kind of specializing in using his 3D printer to repair things and fix things, and has a great series of videos out there featuring that. So Morley, you know, welcome.
Hi,
thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I also want to say congratulations. I saw just today that you got your 100K subs silver play button. So congratulations on that milestone.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's my doggo joining us.
My dog in the stream.
Come here, say hello to the people. Oh, she's a little freaked out because we're moving right now, and so there's a lot happening.
Oh,
this is our 1-year-old puppy.
Nice.
Hello.
That's why also it's so echoey in here right now, because there's pretty much no furniture. Usually we have slightly better acoustics.
But the sound is okay.
Yeah, you sound fine. All right. So Morley, why don't you tell us a little bit about your channel? You know, maybe if my explanation wasn't necessarily the best.
Yeah, for sure. So I started my channel probably about 5 years ago while I was in university. I was studying civil engineering and I had gotten into these maker videos. And eventually I was thinking like, oh, like maybe I want to film some of my own projects and share those as well. So I was in university, I got into woodworking and eventually got into leatherworking as well. And gradually through a course of self-discovery and that whole post-university thing, I realized that it's something, making videos about making stuff is something that I really like doing and that I was pretty good at. And throughout all this, eventually I got a Prusa i3 Mark 3S in April of 2020. And I didn't really have a specific plan for it. I had learned a bunch of 3D modeling in university and there just seemed like there was a lot of things that I could do with a 3D printer. At the time I was doing a fair amount of leatherworking. And one idea that I had is I could make some custom stamps for the leather items that I was making at the time. Because, you know, people like custom leather stuff. What they like even more than that is getting their names or some poem or something embossed into it. So I picked up the Prusa. I took a 30-day Fusion 360 class. And my world just kind of blew right open with the amount of things that that I could do. And so I started integrating it into my videos a bit, not just with the leatherworking, but also like realizing that 3D printing in and of itself was like a really interesting medium to explore. And as of recently, I was inspired by Van Nystat, who's an amazing artist and filmmaker and YouTuber. And he did a repair station at a flea market in California. So he had people come by with broken items and he fixed those things in his style. And, you know, because he's kind of an artist in his own right, like I think a lot of people, you know, wanted his hand to have a part in their, you know, camera or glasses or whatever else. So he had his own, you know, approach to it. And I was like, this would be a really cool thing to do with 3D printing, especially for a video. Like I want to go out on the streets of Toronto, which is where I'm located, and like fix things for people with 3D printing. But pretty soon I realized that getting power to a random street corner would be a little tough. And it's just a little chaotic to be printing outside on a public city street. So there's the wind as well. Like I didn't want to have to deal with bed adhesion issues and also, you know, permits and all those other things. So I thought about approaching a local business. So there's this cafe here in Toronto called the Maker Bean Cafe where they do 3D printing and laser cutting and a bunch of other stuff. And it was a perfect fit. And luckily the owner was super amicable to the idea. He was like on board. So we did it. It went really well. We did it again. So we did two sessions at the Maker Bean Cafe. And around that time, I was contacted by EcoFlow, who makes power stations and solar panels and things like that. And I was like, this is perfect. Like, this is what I need to actually do the printing station on the streets of Toronto. So we got that going. And then I built a quote off-grid 3D printing station. So I built a table with some big pneumatic casters to see if I could actually do the original idea, which is to print kind of like on a city street. Although I was thinking that being in a park might be a little more pleasant. So I did it in a park pretty close to me and it was great. We were talking before we were starting recording about like, you know, a lot of the comments I get are people being like, how do you do this in a single day?
Yeah, right. It must take way, way too long to, because like prints take hours to 3D print, you know, anything chunky.
Yeah.
Which I would assume you would need for repairing anything.
Right.
And I guess from my personal experience, I tend to print really small things. I don't know what it is, but I print a lot of like little tool holders and little parts to repair things around my apartment. So from the beginning, I was like, oh, this is fine. Like my prints usually take like 15 to 40 minutes. So I can do a bunch in a day. But of course, on this day, when I was in the most chaotic situation, I had someone come and I designed a part that took 2.5 hours to print. So that kind of threw a wrench into things. And because the sun kept moving and we had a solar panel set up, I actually had to move the entire station while that print was going. That was a really good test of the robustness of the Prusa, because it had no problem. Like it didn't know it was being moved across uneven ground. And it was all good.
One thing I like that you did was that, you know, it's pretty, I find it pretty hard to, you know, get things. I mean, sometimes you get it on the first try, but more often than not, you know, you need like two or three tries to get the tolerances and everything right. And you printed just like the piece that engages with the broken part, just the little smallest part in like 20 minutes, try it. If it fits, maybe, you know, add a few like tiny bit there, here and there, and then you printed the whole thing. So I think, yeah, that's a good tip for everyone trying this.
Yeah.
You know, even from the point of view of like, you know, not wasting filament and just being faster about everything.
For sure.
What materials are you using?
I've been using PETG, P-E-T-G for all of these. And I've done some, when doing a lot of functional prints, a lot of people comment about like the robustness of it, like, oh, is this gonna last? And I probably, the best test of that is I did a fix in my car for my glove compartment, which was broken and it was missing these little pieces. And these Toronto summers are pretty hot and it has held up well. So I've been pretty happy with the performance of those parts.
So if you are to do something like that again, I think you could get away without using heated bed with smaller parts if you use a sheet with like a belt tag or something.
Yeah, I never even thought of that until people started commenting that. Yeah, because it can save a lot of power.
Yeah, I mean the Mark III, it doesn't use all that much power by itself, but it's still a little bit over 100 watts. But this you can get down a lot.
But yeah,
1/5, I would say. The heat bed is the biggest heater.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of back in the day, a couple people, and I think our mutual friend Andy, Joe, didn't he have a trike where he was driving around and printing off of the back of a trike at one point? I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember.
Yeah. A three-wheel bicycle with the big like cargo space on the back of it, just sticking
to like e-bike. And he was driving around Prague and giving away whistles.
Because that's awesome.
The printer.
It was printing while he was biking, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, the printer is fine. The Mark III. I wouldn't do such crazy stuff like on a bike while printing with Mini. I think you could see it on the layers, but in Mark III, it was fine. Or yeah. It wasn't Mark III back then. It was Mark II. Old one.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, Mickey kind of touched on it a little bit, but do you have any advice out there for people who are designing like fixes and things of how to be, you know, and someone who might want to kind of replicate the same idea, how to like reduce the amount of print time that you're putting into some of these parts?
Yeah. I think it's always worth thinking about like what actually needs to be 3D printed. If you're looking at like bulk parts, things that are kind of large, a lot of things can be done with other materials, like if they can easily be cut out of wood or plastic or other things like that. And you know, thinking about print orientation, doing things in multiple parts, you know, when you have that constraint behind you, your brain, I think, gets creative pretty quick of like, okay, like there's no other option. I gotta figure something out. I think for whatever reason, for a while, I was really into trying to get like the exact fit on the first try. But like Mickey alluded to, it's really worth it to try to do that first prototype. And instead of spending all that time like measuring everything super exactly, like figure out what it is that actually needs to be a tight fit or needs to be like an interference fit. And then if you can get to that first prototype quickly, as long as it doesn't use, you know, too much filament, then it's just a lot easier of a design process. Like I find the faster you can get into the real world, which is one of the great things about 3D printing, kind of usually the better things turn out. But like I've gotten a lot of people saying having two printers would be probably the easiest way to get over that barrier. If I could just be doing things in parallel, that would be great. Two Prusa Minis would probably be perfect. Although like you said, while printing while moving, I don't know if it would do as well as the Mark 3S.
I love one thing that you're doing, and I would like to highlight it because we did an article on it, but I think it's worth to go over it, and that's the parametric modeling. Like, in your videos, you usually take the calipers and you measure everything, you write it down, then you open Fusion 360 and you make variables for all the things and you just type in the value, rather than just going wild west designing and then typing the values, and then, you know, you have 15 steps in Fusion 360 and it's like, okay, I need to change this a little bit. It's referenced in 15 places and I suddenly don't remember all the places and it just becomes a huge mess. So yeah. I think that's a really nice way of doing it, just to write down all the variables and then just use the variable wherever you need it. And if you need to change it, you just have one place to change the value.
Yeah, it definitely makes everything feel a lot cleaner. Just the knowledge that you could go back and change things and it would propagate easily. I would say I don't have to use it very often. Yeah. But when you do have those more complicated designs, then you're like, oh my God, thank God I did this.
Thank you, Pass me.
If you change something in the past, it doesn't break the whole model. And then you have to, well, it's not always bad. You just kind of troubleshoot going forwards because they don't always propagate forward perfectly. Sometimes you got to find where things are a little messed up, but it's better than doing it over again.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. This is why I left OpenSCAD before.
That's what I was going to say. I think a lot of us that kind of grew up back in the OpenSCAD days, you know, in our 3D printing experience, like really like learned the power of parametric modeling, and it sticks through to everything that we do now, even in like Fusion or Onshape or things like that. So,
yeah.
So now if I want to do something quick, I just do it in the slicer because you can pretty much do it.
Yeah, I keep joking about when is Prusa Slicer going to be just as much of a CAD package as it is a slicer. So
the measurement tools are coming. I saw a demo a couple days ago. So I think this will increase this a little bit more, but no parametric modeling.
Yeah, but we have the step import and the triangulation everything, so like we just need to like push Vojta, the team lead, a little bit to get on this.
Yeah, I mean there are some big things ready are being developed.
Yes.
But we need to figure out how to release it because I don't want to do it all at one big thing.
Okay.
But the three supports are very close, and it's you never saw them anywhere else.
Yes.
Morley, you know, having something repaired, it can be such an experience for someone because, you know, you take something that you think of as being broken, it's done, you're not going to be able to have this anymore, you know, whether it's a high value item or a sentimental item, and then suddenly, you know, it's fixed and you have it back. Do you have any reactions that you can share of, you know, people that have been, you know, super excited to have something fixed that they didn't think was going to be possible?
Yeah. I think I had a lot of people come in who were probably between like 50 and 60 years old, maybe like 50 to 70, who may be aware that 3D printing exists, but they had never seen it before and they didn't really know how it worked or anything like that. So I think those were some of the most interesting and satisfying interactions, where some of them were just like really excited to talk about it and watch it. But then if we could also fix something for them, they were really excited, one, for something not to go in a landfill. Because they're perfectly aware that they could buy a new, you know, vacuum cleaner for like not very much money. But a lot of them were against that for environmental reasons. Like they didn't want to throw everything about. So the thought of keeping something out of a landfill was super exciting to them. Unfortunately, there were a few cases that didn't make it into the video where like someone brought something and it just wasn't practical to do it the same day. I had, because I posted in all these neighborhood Facebook groups. So I all the time now have people messaging me about something they want me to fix, like separate and apart from the events. Cause now that they see that this is a thing that can be done, I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't have the time. This isn't exactly my business. I would like to do more of these pop-ups, but, it's been really great. And I think one funny interaction was at the end of the last video when I did it in the park. When we were packing up the station, this man came over, and unfortunately we had to go, so I wasn't able to do his repair the same day. But I was like, I'll tell you what, I'll come over and he showed me the part that he needed. So I was like, I'll pick up the part, I'll model it, and I'll get it to you that same afternoon. And so I did that, and it was a part for his bike rack. It was kind of like an axle to hold on this rat trap on the back of one of those old style bike racks. And so I modeled it and I brought it back to him, and I could kind of tell at first that he was a little skeptical. He was like, oh, like, great. And I was like, let's go try it out. Let's go see. And I was filming this whole time because I wanted to get that reaction. And so we went back to his bike, and when we actually got it on and it got it working, then his whole demeanor changed. He was like, whoa, this actually works.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I told you it would. So that was a really fun one.
It is amazing. It is amazing how many people never saw a 3D printer in their life working, or they never heard of it. But you know, we mostly live in our bubbles most of the time, so the people know it, but I still, vast majority of people have no idea.
For sure.
You are doing, I think, fantastic work for promoting 3D printing, because every person that you know you show it to is going to tell 10, 20 of his friends, like, oh my god, this guy just 3D printed it, and then he brought it to me and it worked, and it's a thing that you cannot buy anywhere, it doesn't exist. It's like, it's pretty, yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
for sure.
I noticed you're using two-part epoxy quite a bit. First of all, what is that two-part epoxy? Because it seems to be working quite well for you. And why that? Have you, like, do you find it better than just super glue or something like that?
So the two-part epoxy, like, I think a lot of people in the States just call it like five-minute epoxy. It's just a two-part resin that you mix together. It takes about a minute of mixing. And then it's called, it's very misleading name. It's called five-minute epoxy because it's like set in 5 minutes, but it really takes 24 hours to reach its full strength. I'm not a material scientist, so I can't speak specifically to its strength, but in my experience, it's less brittle than super glue, and it just seems like a little stronger in general. Of course, you got to mix it. It's also nice because it's really viscous. Mm-hmm. So if you need something to kind of, like, super glue will cure, but before it cures, it doesn't really hold the things together. It's not very sticky. So I think for some things that, yeah, where you want that stickiness, it's pretty good. I use super glue pretty often, but if it's something that's going to be kind of banged around a good amount, I'll try to go for 5 minute epoxy. But I think, like, for true peace of mind, having epoxy or super glue plus some, like, 3D printed mechanical connection is the best, so it's not just two flat faces. Yeah. You have some sort of interfacing between the two.
I feel like if anyone involved with Gloop is watching right now, you've got a sponsorship opportunity here. And so,
because
I'm sure the Gloop guys would like to get on board on this. So,
yeah, it's good to have some good adhesive on you most of the time, because sometimes, you know, if you are modeling something and you want it quick, many times you can just, you know, cut it into two parts, so you lose all the supports or all this kind of stuff, and you just glue it together quickly, and you save yourself a lot of time and a lot of waste for, like, supports. But, you know, it depends on the model.
Yeah, for sure. I think you had a really good suggestion there that I don't want to get kind of lost in some of the other discussion, which is I guarantee, I mean, I'm already sitting here thinking in my head of, like, how to kind of replicate a little bit of this repair station in my own local area. And I'm sure some of our other viewers are thinking the same thing. And I think your point there of, like, reaching out and letting lots of neighborhood, you know, local Facebook groups know that you're going to be in a specific area. Like, you know, we have a couple farmers markets that run on different days around here. And I think, like, setting up a table in the farmers market for doing the same kind of thing would be a really interesting idea. But yeah, those hyper local Facebook groups seem like a really, you know, great way to kind of spread the word on this.
Yeah. For the first one, I was excited because we were in a pretty busy area and there was going to be a street festival the same day. So I was thinking, well, we'll have lots of foot traffic and lots of people come in and having things to be repaired. But if people need to know in advance if you're doing a repair station, because they need to like think about what they're going to bring, and even just communicating the idea of like a 3D printed repair is difficult, because some people thought I was fixing 3D printers. So it's, I think
we understand those misnomers. I mean, the Prusa printers versus printables debate for so long. So
yeah, I think the longer you can let people know in advance, the better. And also just being able to like answer questions about the sorts of things that you can fix, providing some examples is really good. Cause yeah, there's going to be people that don't quite understand what you're doing. After, the good thing was after the first one, I could link that video and be like,
right,
watch this, you'll see.
Here, fix my bathtub, it's leaking.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you run into anything like that thus far? Someone brings you something and you're just like, that's not something we can fix with a 3D printer. Like
nothing too exciting. I would say I've had a few people bring like injection molded plastic parts that had snapped, and the contact area is so small and like everything's so thin that I'm like with an FDM printer and the time constraints that I have, I don't really know if 3D printing is the best way to go. Maybe if I had a resin printer, or if I had some more time to like fully model the entire part rather than something small to glue into place.
Right. Very interesting. We've already covered that Fusion 360 is your design platform of choice. But one of the questions I like to ask anyone who comes in on the show that is a designer is, do you have any other like tools in your design toolbox, whether that's, you know, physical or, you know, software or whatnot that you can't live without, that, you know, helps you on these tasks?
My caliper for sure. Right. I get a lot of hate for this every time I show it in a video, but I use 1/1000 inch calipers. I know that's very weird in 3D printing.
But, Joe deflates.
I didn't know that when I first got these. And like I knew very little about the 3D printing world. And so it's just kind of what I'm used to. I've been meaning to transition to metric for 3D printing for a long time. But the convenient thing about Fusion is that you can use whatever unit you want, and it's all it knows that it's 1 inch and that it's not just one unit, for example, like 1 inch, 25.4 millimeters, it's all the same thing in there. Like very accurate caliper has been huge. And you can also save a lot of design time taking reference photos, and you can take them against a ruler, but having a cutting mat that has the gradations on it is really convenient, because then you can just scale that directly in Fusion, trace the part that you need, and you're good to go. But really, like, those are the main things. Calipers, Fusion, and a phone camera, you can
do a lot with. And EcoFlow, of course, helping you out here.
I now need one EcoFlow for me. We mentioned it here so
Yeah, so fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us. This has been a great segment. We have a couple minutes if we have any questions from the audience here. Of anyone have any questions for Morley? It's always difficult because there's a lag.
Yeah, before it gets to viewers. I will be pasting a link for Morley's channel in the description and in the chat, so if you want to check more of his stuff, you get just a little bit, some taste of what Morley does, go check his channel, because I personally found it very, even just watching it, very satisfying. Like, oh, this is broken, and I have a sentimental bond to this object, and it's always these like little but completely unbuyable things. Like, I cannot just search online for this little plastic dude that broke, and the whole thing is just suddenly broken, unfortunately. It's very nice to see them repaired.
One tool that I saw just mentioned in the chat, a rotary tool, is super handy for for cleaning up prints, like cleaning off support material residue, but also just if you're designing a functional part and you need to trim things away to like make it fit. I find that that's one of the easiest way to do it, rather than messing around with like a razor blade or a knife and then accidentally cutting yourself. So I'll use that sometimes.
You mean like Dremel?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For some reason in my head, when you said rotary tool, I was thinking about a rotary cutter, like they often use like for cutting fabric, almost like a pizza cutter. And I was like, that's a weird tool for cutting white 3D printer stuff. But yes. Yeah. Like a drum. Here's makes a lot more sense.
Here's an idea for a $1 billion business. Make a quiet Dremel. If you want to at night.
Yeah.
I really hate the high pitch, you know.
The Fordhams aren't quite so bad, and they have a much more powerful motor.
I saw at the office like a big grinder with big stones.
Yeah.
And there's like an attachment to a small rotary tool. And I think that one would be quieter, but
yeah,
no.
Someone asked which bit on the Dremel do I use the most, and it's probably those little sanding drums, but I also hate them because they constantly just shatter. It's like they're made of spit and tissue paper. They're really useful.
Agreed.
Yeah, I would say it's a bit, you can easily swap them if they get gunked up with plastic, because as the RPMs are quite high, I would say there is a little bit of meltage going on too.
Yeah.
So I think it can gunk it up, so you can easily change it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. Again, if you would like to go check out Morley on YouTube, do you have any other links you want to promote? Instagram, anything like that?
Yeah, YouTube is the main thing. I also do a podcast called Clamp. If you just search Clamp on podcast players, the Creating, Living, and Making Projects podcast. But yeah, YouTube is the main thing.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us. It was great getting to know you, and we'll talk to you soon. Can't wait to see what else you're up to.
Thanks again for having me on. It was great talking.
Yeah,
thank you, Morley. Bye.
Very fun.
Yeah, the you know, moving solar panels in the sun together with your 3D printer, so you still have power to do print repairs. I think that's really, really fun, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think without the heated bed, he might be able to basically run it from the solar panel, right? It's how many watts is that thing? Like 200?
Or not even bother with the solar panel. Run for the entire time he's there, just off of the battery system, and then charge the battery system when he gets home.
Yeah, I think in the last time he did the video, the battery was showing like 12 hours or something. So
right.
The Mark III doesn't really consume much when it's printing. Maybe just the preheating phase, but after that, it's pretty low, which is nice.
So, shall we get to the question? I have some on my mind from the earlier time in the stream, so I guess I'll just go on.
We have our Prusa Live picks first,
and
then we'll move on to...
questions. I was so concentrating not to forget the question.
Keep them locked in there, Joe. Yeah. All right. So every episode, you guys send us photos of the prints that you've been working on via Twitter, hashtag Prusa Live, and we pick our favorites, and those favorites get some filament. So who do we have this week? Who's our number three, Mickey?
Our number three is Phantom Printer. With this big Kelvin and Hobbs print on the Mini. And I guess those are then assembled the individual pieces together to form the print.
Yeah, super adorable print. You know, a lot of us grew up on Galvin and Hobbs, and pretty nostalgic print there.
Congrats, nicely done.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, I think this week it's just kind of...
all nostalgia?
Yeah, and also all our MMU or, you know, multiple pieces put together to create a sort of MMU. I mean, well, but they are just so great, it's impossible not to highlight them. So the second place is Barry Webb with V from Arcane, if you watched Arcane, the series from League of Legends. And, oh, look at this. It looks amazing.
Barry's always putting out really great prints. It's nice to see them.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really came out incredibly well. So congrats, Barry. This is incredible. And I believe this model is on printables too, if you want to give it a shot.
Yeah.
And then we are moving to our number one. Which is First Layer with Buzz Lightyear. I've been eyeing this model from First Layer for a bit because, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, when I see it, it just reminds me of childhood, which right. I took.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new movie?
I have not.
I don't think I have as well, yeah.
I saw it on Disney Plus, but I didn't watch it yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that kind of concentrates on kind of the Buzz Lightyear story or the character.
Yeah, I think I think that's the one.
I need to check it out because Pixar is always pushing things forward, so it's interesting to see what they've done.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, from your graphics trade, right?
Yeah. So congrats, First Layer. We are digressing a little bit, but yes, congrats, you're in the first place. That's amazing. And
So to all of our winners, reach out to me, send me a DM over Twitter. My DMs are open. Send me a DM over Twitter and we will get you your prizes. But we also have a little shout out here too. A little extra one to show off.
Yes. And as I'm opening that, speaking about, I did watch Avatar yesterday in IMAX again. They released it. It's cool.
Neat.
And before the second one. Is it loading yet? It's here.
Yeah,
yes.
So our shout out is to Grant, 3D Musketeers, who I know is in the chat. I see him in the chat right now with his hurricane prep. It is super neat to see someone getting ready for such a horrible event using their 3D printer. And to all of our customers and, you know, family and friends and everything that have been affected by Ian, you know, we feel sorry for you. You know, it's a horrible thing to happen, and you know, our hearts go out. So stay safe and yeah.
Okay, that's the contest. Joe, I hope you held the question.
Yeah. Here.
I forgot that one, but I remembered another one. I saw a question about the MMU. So there is like complete rework of the firmware, so it communicates more with the printer, and some other upgrades. And we are just packaging it. It's going through quite extensive testing now.
Yeah, there's an actual beta team, like an external beta team, who is you know, trying all this stuff out, and it's coming along.
And the second question was the Connect. I think many people don't realize that it's open beta now, but with like bigger, so anyone can just go in and start using it. But with bigger, with the bigger release, we are waiting for the camera support. So, but that should be easy. We are now implementing a couple of things. So, you know, as there's not much stuff available anywhere, so you can use like old smartphone and all this kind of stuff. So
Merck is asking if there's preferred place for printable suggestions. Really, we take them from everywhere. We try to read everything from Reddit to Twitter to Facebook. So whatever is the most convenient for you. If you want to paste it in the chat right now, I will read it later and pass it to the rest of the team. So really up to you. There is a button on the right side of the homepage, but I believe some ad blockers remove it. So. Yeah,
but I mean, sometimes, you know, if you want to put a suggestion, when I see some suggestions where like three levels deep in Reddit comments, there is a very low chance that we see it, you know, so either tag us on Twitter or
send
it. And even if you send it to our support or email, it gets to us.
Yeah. Will Prusa Connect be available on third-party printers in the future?
We are not decided all that much yet. Probably clones first if they are one to one, and you know, a little bit of payment, but it will be free for our users. Because it is quite tied into our machines, and you know, I don't think we could support it in our quality standards.
Getting some bots in the chat, which is a little bit annoying.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people asking for Excel update. We don't have much to update you on because we are still waiting on some parts. Something is arriving, and with the time lapses, we are waiting on the new revision, which is being built now. So I would say more time lapses are coming soon, and I would say in a couple of weeks we should put out an update. But I don't see all that much point into writing, hey, not much has happened.
Yeah. I can show a failed time-lapse on the XL. We were testing, we had an experimental nozzle on one of the tool heads, and yeah, it failed, but still amusing to watch. So it's going really well, four colors, and you can see the extruder swaps, which I find amusing. But then the black tool head had this experimental nozzle, and it got like partially clogged or something. So I find it interesting that because you have different tool heads, when just one of them is clogged, the rest sort of doesn't care, so it finishes just fine. But yeah, unfortunately, the black color.
And there is a fly. Oh, no, there, it looks just like a fly, but
yeah,
it's a piece of the black filament.
Yeah. It got completely clogged, and then it somehow pushed through. It's interesting. But yeah. I know that... before we started the time lapse, it was like the first tool head has this nozzle. Do you think it's okay? Like, I was like, I don't know. You tell me. I was like, yes, let's try it. But it didn't work. Someone would like an easier thing to post makes from iOS directly. I find it really convenient to post makes from my iPhone right now. I would like
you've never heard this from anybody else before, Mickey. No one's ever told you it would be so nice to have an easier way to post makes from a phone.
I cannot imagine an easier way. Like the app would be exactly the same.
Mickey and I went round and round about this about a month ago, and so
I can post the make on printables in like 2 minutes from here. I don't know.
I mean, I would say with the apps, it makes more sense to me than I run out everything before it settles down, and then do an app, because if we are coming with new features, we have to do it twice now.
Yeah,
we would have to do it twice, or I don't know, three times, because we can certainly test the website, and it's much more easier to know that it.
But
works.
In a nutshell, it really is just like button add make, and it opens your photo library on your phone, and you just pick that, and that's it. So even though it's not an app, I think the web design is equally on par if it as it evolves an app, but people just don't expect it, I guess.
And actually, you know, we could just package it in
Google. Yeah. I've tried it.
And a lot of apps are done this way. It's not native.
I don't know if you would be able to pass it through App Store, because I think they are very restrictive. They really don't like progressive web apps packaged as a standalone app. But we can definitely try it, I think.
Yeah. My suggestion to everyone who's thinking about this and having issues with this right now is, as Mickey says, posting makes really isn't that bad. I think it's more annoying posting your first, like if you have a design, because like getting your STL files or your G-code or things like mixed in, and getting the photos off your camera and things like that. So my suggestion is save all your STL files, any of your G-code files, 3MFs, whatever, to Dropbox or Google Drive or your Apple whatever folder that you can access on your phone, and that way when you go to do your uploads, you can still have access to those STL files.
You can just upload it to Printables and leave it in draft mode, and then open the draft on your phone and upload the images. So you can basically have the model opened in both devices and upload pictures from your phone and upload models from your PC. I think it's the draft makes this actually pretty nice.
Yeah. If you're going back and forth doing multiple prints, I find it easier to have things saved off to the cloud.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Can printables get grid measurement thing? Prusa slicer can get a measurement thing. So that's coming.
Zombie Hedgehog is asking, they don't have a Prusa, but they want to upload sliced versions of the models. You could upload the G-code for whatever printer that you have. You could also upload G-code, you know, for a Prusa machine, you know, whatever you want. But I would not suggest just uploading G-code. It's great to share the STL files because you never know what machines people are gonna want to print those on.
Someone is asking for CAD files for the enclosure. We did release the add-ons and stuff. So I think if you want to model some accessories, you can kind of hijack those. And yeah, I don't know if you need like something to model the accessories, maybe we could like release the whole thingy.
Whole patterns would be useful. That way people could, like you say, could make accessories, but it doesn't really make sense for us to upload like the CAD files for the bent metal sections. Like, it's a totally different method of manufacturing. So,
we will eventually, but I mean, as we are now stuck in the supply hell, yeah. I don't want clones to be out quite soon. And I mean.
Yeah.
This is only usable for clones if we upload the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. It would mainly help people make clones rather than anyone actually mod it or anything. Any thoughts on the AR model? I saw someone doing that, like the AR putting the virtual model on the desk. I don't know. I find it very gimmicky. Like, it's really cool, but you tried it once.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I saw it in some Kickstarter, I think, or something like that. That you can preview it on printer bed or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Like, everything we do, like, we have to spend the developer time. So it's like, would you rather have this than maybe something more useful? And I think we. We have enough more useful things, we think, that we would rather do. So I don't think it's a priority now. I think it's really cool, but I think it's just that. It's really cool and it's not really useful.
The labeling in Prusa Slicer, I think we have demos already. So I don't know which it will go into the slicer, but we can wrap, you can wrap text around the non-flat objects, so that's quite cool. You have it for quite some time, actually, in the works.
Okay.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention to time. We're already
over, but we had questions, so I enjoyed it. But yeah, I think this will be it for today.
I'm so looking forward to Earth. It will be amazing, and we are sponsoring a party.
Yes, so, I'm really looking forward to that. It's gonna be amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. And this will be, I think, this will be our last, or for me at least, the last US show this year. So.
Yeah.
We have a couple others maybe on the schedule for some of us to come out to, but probably the last for Joe. But I might be seeing some of you guys in Orlando and in Milwaukee. Oh, and Rochester. Yeah.
Orlando was amazing too, but I just gone with all what's happening traveling around. And
Fantastic. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's been a great show. Thank you to Morley for being our guest. Stay safe, have fun, keep printing. We'll see you guys later. Bye.